Okay, we're so glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio for another Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, Louis Navellier. Well, Louis Navellier is editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters, including Louis Navellier's Quantum Growth, Emerging Growth, Global Growth, and the Blue Chip Growth. Hello, sir.
It's great to be on your show again.
You've noted here in one of your recent reports that the equities trend now is a bit of a wild card, so it's particularly important for investors to pay attention to the sectors where they're looking for potential stock candidates. Some will be outperforming while others underperforming. Which sectors do you expect to shine here early on in the new year?
You know, that's a fascinating question you have. The only sector that was up this year when we started this year was energy. Yet both my mutual funds were in the top 1% early in the year, and I had hardly any energy stocks. So we really think the sectors are breaking down, and we think it's all stock picking now, and it's all who has the best earnings. Because what's going on is these earnings coming out now are the best in almost 3 years for the S&P. And the catalyst other than the proven economy is really a weak dollar. You see, the when the dollar was strong, it was pinching corporate profits. But now it's at a two-year low against the euro, a one-year low against 15 major currencies. It's fueling windfall profits on the overseas business because almost half the S&P's earnings are outside of the United States. So I'm very excited because this is really becoming a stock-picking market. Now, with that said, tech is doing better than, you know, utilities, but the sector trends are very unclear this year.
You also go on to say that the Federal Reserve might not be quite as market supportive because we're starting to see an end to tapering, and this could lead to a separating of the wheat from the chaff, which you've already alluded to, more of a stock-picker's market. How do you see the Fed operating in the new year? Will they be as hawkish as some folks are expecting?
Well, first of all, there's going to be two hawks voting this time versus one. So you're going to have instead of nine to one votes, you're going to have 8-2. And Mr. Fisher wanted the Dallas Fed president. He wanted to trim by $20 billion a month, and they're trimming by $10 billion a month. So they're going to be pushing to wind it down more. What may cause the Fed to hesitate was the December payroll report. Now, personally, that very poor payroll report we had in December was probably due to seasonal adjustments. The real people that do payroll, ADP, had found a lot more jobs. The winter weather is distorting the jobs number through February, to be honest with you, and they're having those horrible storms, you know, in the Northeast and some in the Midwest. So I think what's going to be happening is the Fed is going to be very accommodative. Janet Yellen is a dove, but she's a very serious dove. She's a data-driven dove. And I think she will wind down the quantitative easing, but not as fast as it would have happened under Bernanke. The other thing that's odd is I think the Fed's going to lower their unemployment target. You know, unemployment plunged in December, not because of job creation, was very poor. It plunged because the people keep disappearing off the workforce. We're at a 35-year low on worker participation, and the average work week is quite low. And in 2013, the payroll report showed 400,000 more jobs than the broader household survey. Because when kids got two temp jobs, they were counted twice. So there's some bad data in the Department of Labor data, and I think the Fed knows this. They've talked about it. And but I do think they will wind things down, but a little slower under Janet Yellen.
A lot of startling statistics being thrown around, some of them, I think, more reliable. Few people really trusting the mainline numbers emerging from the Labor Department and the BLS. With folks dropping out of the labor force, the participation rate is one metric that folks are looking at, which is, you know, really been in a downward trend now ever since the last recession.
You know, we're just not hitting on all cylinders, and I don't trust any of the government data. I'll give you just another division of the government, retail sales. You know, I recommend Home Depot and Lowe's, and they had the strongest sales since 1998, okay? I mean, the best in like 15 years. And if you read the Department of the Commerce Department, they say that the sales of home improvement stores are falling. Well, then how come Home Depot and Lowe's have record results? I mean, don't they dominate the home improvements business? It's just bizarre. We call it Earth to the government. I mean, I think we ought to buy them a computer every now and then. And, you know, it's just odd. And there's, you know, and then you hit states like California, where you got 25% of the citizens don't even have bank accounts. And you say, do you think they're part of the cash economy? And, you know, I'll give you another story. I sold the division of my management company. When we sold it, it was about $1.6 billion in assets, 10,000 accounts. We told the people in that division, go work for the people we sold it to. You know, they'll give you a job. Well, one of my guys went straight to disability. Now, this guy's an ex-USC football jock. Got two national championship rings, still benches 340 pounds. He used to bench a lot more. And he's on disability. He chose to get disability versus work. So there's a lot of weird things going on in the labor market right now. And there's just a lot of temp work out there. You know, it's fascinating.
Well, let's move on now to a recent statistic from the government last week. Of course, Labor Department discussed our recent price situation, and the producer price climbed one of the biggest monthly increases in quite some time. You mentioned energy stocks performing well. You know, energy prices also increasing sharply. What are your thoughts here on inflation and inflation-related investments like the precious metals?
It's all tied to the dollar. When the dollar's strong, commodity prices go down. When the dollar gets weak, as it's now getting weak, commodity prices bubble up. That's why gold's had a good start to the year. Now you get the seasonality, you know, the cows have had gone to slaughter early because it was cold, and, you know, we have the lowest inventory of cows in 60 years, and, you know, the pigs got sick, and, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, but the feed costs are down, and I like Tyson Foods. They dominate that business. Gold's fascinating. When we did the deal with Iran and we took the sanctions off of them and we gave them $8 billion back that we had frozen, we created the gold market because Iran was selling oil in exchange for gold to get around the sanctions, especially with Turkey. And now they get paid in dollars. So I think gold's a good buy. I think it has to build a better base, okay? But, you know, essentially the metals do well when confidence in the central banks drop. And confidence in central banks are pretty high in the world because they've all been pumping. But the reason that there's been some selling our treasuries is coming from other central banks. Apparently, they just don't respect us like they used to. And whether that's right or wrong, and there has been an emerging market crisis, there's been a lot of the rise in our treasury yields is coming from central bank selling of our treasury securities. So as the confidence in the Fed drops and the dollar gets weaker, then the commodity prices firm up, especially metals prices.
I'd like to move on to the fiscal cliff, the fiscal deal that was passed late last year to reopen the government and circumvent our debt limit, of course. This impending reset, they pushed it back again. No matter whether it's just going to be a non-event.
It's going to be a non-event. It's going to be a non-event because it's an election year. Obviously, they're trying to get turnout up. That's what the inequality thing is all about. Because you know, when you have a midterm election, it's good for Republicans and it's bad for Democrats. So they're trying to get this inequality thing going, so everybody shows up and votes and get everybody riled up. It's working. They're at Davos, Switzerland, talking about it right now. But the fact of the matter is that nothing's going to happen. As far as President Obama's concerned, he can just do executive orders. So, you know, it's unfortunate that that the executive branch and Congress aren't working together. But that's just where we're at right now.
You know, this talk about economic growth when we see higher than normal unemployment figures, can the Fed actually continue with tapering, or returning to tapering for a moment, if we have higher unemployment, the inflation numbers are relatively tame? It would seem to me that they have plenty of wiggle room here for further stimulus, quantitative easing, and it would be a bit reckless.
The reason is 3% GDP growth is back, and the reason it's back is, you know, we grew at 4.1 in the third quarter. Fourth quarter is looking at 3. The trade deficit's got a lot better, and the trade deficit's got more and more narrow. It's fueling GDP growth. Now, we get distortions in GDP. You know, we had an inventory surge in the third quarter. We had the great trade number in the fourth quarter. And so if you look at consumer spending, they're not driving the economy now like they normally do. So So that's why people don't feel it. It's coming from extraordinary items. But the bottom line is, as we get closer and closer to 3% GDP growth, it'll, I think they'll continue to taper. Their biggest problem is the double counting of the temp jobs. You know, I did an event at Capitol Grill for a UBS dinner, and we were surveying the wait staff, and no one had a full-time job. And that's because it's Darden restaurants, and they don't want a full-time job because they want to buy them health care. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how what's really going on. I know there's slack in the workforce. Obviously, some people got the wrong degrees, and we can go on and on, and they might live in the wrong state, you know. Obviously, there's an unemployment problem in Texas and things like that. North Carolina is a good case study. Mr. Governor McElroy, he actually cut benefits, so everybody was forced to go get a job, and unemployment fell. It's very interesting how it works. You know, I'm just amazed. You know, again, I'm from California, so I'm very cynical, but I'm amazed that you can get a disability from acute stress from commuting, because a doctor will sign off you can't commute anymore. I'm amazed that I can lay off a guy who's, you know, very healthy, goes to the gym, and he gets disability. He gets extra because he has four kids. You know, I'm just amazed. You know, it's... You know, I guess if everybody does it, they think you should. They should do it too. So it's, but in some states that would be frowned upon. In other states, it's embraced. So, well, welcome to America.
Interesting statistic this morning showed that roughly 20% of American households are now using food stamps to keep food on the dinner table. How does this factor into your analysis?
I have a home in Florida, and the people that solicit the seniors for food stamps, I have to sign up 150 a month, otherwise they will lose their job. So that's the deal. Hand it out or lose it. And that just is going to promote fraud, because worst case, they'll hand it out to someone who shouldn't get it. Well, you know, people grow up in certain societies and cultures, and, you know, if your parents were on aid, then you're more likely you're going to be on aid. And, of course, you know, the whole goal is for people to move up and assimilate and grow and prosper. And, you know, but obviously... You know, some people say, "Oh, I might as well get it. Everybody's getting it." So it's very sad what goes on. But you know, like I spent a lot of time in Alabama. I don't see this in Alabama. Okay, everybody's working there. They got 6 auto plants. The whole place is booming. I go back to California. It's like everybody doesn't. You know, it's really sad. It's truly, truly sad. So, and obviously they're trying to get seniors to do it, and seniors vote. They throw in free money at seniors. So it's quite fascinating.
What sectors, what stocks, what particular industries look good in the next few weeks and months, please?
Well, first of all, I want everybody to know the earnings coming out now are the best in 3 years. And earnings are going to improve every quarter this year. And the one thing the market was missing, earnings, is finally back. So I'm very bullish. But I'm bullish predominantly because of my stock. So we like things like Tyson Foods. We have airlines. We have Delta and Southwest. I mean, they're gouging the tickets. Just look at what's going on. And there's been a lot of consolidation. They have monopolistic routes. We like TMO. It's an instrument company, disposable instruments. We like some great pharmaceuticals like Jazz Pharmaceuticals, VRX, another pharmaceutical company. We have a lot of great Chinese stocks. DL, which is an education company in China. A QIHU, which is internet on the mobile devices, very, very dominant. VIPS, V-I-P-S, internet a retailer in China. So, you know, it's interesting what's going on, but all I want to find is hot spots and grow with it. I don't have to pay a premium for growth nowadays. I'm very excited. And money's pouring in the market because interest rates go up, bond investors lose money. It's a very good market. If I had to pick one sector, I'd pick pharmaceuticals over everything. But I like Johnson & Johnson. I'm not crazy about Merck. So, you know, I think it's becoming more of a stock market and less of a sector market. But with that said, you know, it's just going to be a wonderful year. And it's just going to get more narrow. As the market goes higher, you get fewer leaders. And that's all that's happening now.
Please tell folks more about the Nevalier services.
Well, we manage several $1 billion and all, but I think we like people to start with our newsletters to get to know us. At Nevalier.com, our management company, there is a free weekly market mail people can sign up for. We also have free stock rating on our Navalier.com and my newsletter site, NavalierGrowth.com. Full access to my entire database of 5,000 stocks online, available free. You can key in your stocks, save your portfolio. It's updated every week automatically. We have quantitative and fundamental grading. We like to blend them both. We're known as a good risk-adjusted manager. When there's dips in the market, we seem to do well. We're off to a great start this year. Both our funds are top 10%. So we're very proud that we're up when the market isn't. So it's going to be a great year. But you know, I have earnings, so I have confidence.
Excellent. Well, please keep up the great work and continued success.
Great.